morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 29th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna Police Chief, Mr. Doberstein. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How come you?
The city manager had a conflict of interest, and I'm taking his spot this morning.
I see. So I know on the pecking order.
Yeah.
I'm the pecked.
I'm peck number two.
Yeah, okay. Or why do they say that this morning? Cockles of the heart. Why do we speak of warming the cockles of the heart, Mr. Policeman?
Because we all want to be warm and fuzzy. I don't know.
The expression is redundant. Cockle is here used as another name for the heart, from the fact that the cockle shell and the heart are very much alike. Indeed, the zoological name for the cockle is cardium, the Greek word for heart.
Oh, wow. You know, so that was my second answer, actually.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I see you're that one. You're a warm and fuzzy guy now. Yeah. Oh, too much fun. Hey, before we get into yours, had a little situation out here this morning where there was a homeless guy camped out on the lawn.
Right.
Okay. I got in, Winston and Tommy got in before sunrise, so we didn't see it, but one of the sales troops came in. And did you know that? What? So if you have one of those what moments, either at your house or business or where you work, what's normal protocol? I know what I did, and it seemed to work out okay, but in hindsight, maybe it wasn't the best thing possible.
Yeah, there's a right to sleep law that's out now. However, it doesn't apply to private property. So if he was on your front porch or on your yard, if you felt comfortable enough, you'd go out and ask him to leave. If not, call the police.
Just simple.
As simple as that.
Okay.
And we will get him off of your property.
And out of the neighborhood?
Well, I can't promise out in there. We can get him to your sidewalk, probably. Okay. And tell him you need to start walking that way.
Okay. So perhaps our approach is best.
Your approach is best, yeah. So, like I said, a lot of times you can just, hey, wake up, you're on my property, it's my yard.
That's kind of how it played out. And you started wandering up the street a little bit, but
right.
A little interaction with a couple of the neighbors.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I don't mind getting calls like that because some of those people might have warrants or be on probation or something like that. And
it's another contact.
Good to know who's in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, we've been relatively immune from that over the years, so it's always kind of an interesting. Actually, you know, it was last summer, so I guess it's twice in 1 year.
Wow.
Which probably isn't big for a lot of people, but
through grass mode, you have that really.
It was Sunday. Yeah, it was all taken care of. So the comments were nice lawn to camp on.
Right.
Not from him, from staff.
Right.
So maybe I ought to put the fountain out there and the little heater too, just to really make it comfortable.
4 o'clock, set your sprinklers.
Yeah.
It takes care of the problem.
That would imply installing the sprinklers too. So what's going on in Fortuna? Anything exciting, different?
Well, we're getting ready to hire a new officer. That's pretty exciting for us. That'll be next week. He'll start. His name's Josh Rosenfeld. He's currently working at the Humboldt County DA's office, so we're excited to get him on board. And once he's on board, we're full staff as far as our officers go.
He's going from the DA's to become a...
To a police officer.
An officer.
Yeah.
Doesn't normally go the other direction?
It usually goes the other directions, but we're lucky to have him. He was a district attorney in Mendocino County, and then he came up here with his wife to Humboldt, and she has a job up in here in Eureka. And he's a Willits Reserve officer, and he's one of these guys, I think, who just, you could probably make more money being a lawyer, but I'd rather be a cop.
Okay, so he has a calling.
He has a calling for it, exactly. So we're looking forward to that. And then in dispatch, we're still in hiring mode. We've got a couple in background. That's always a tough position to fill. It's a pretty grueling test they have to go through. Then they have to go through a whole background process and a polygraph and a psychological. And then once they get in the job, sometimes they don't realize they have to work all night. And you know, so we try to explain all that to them beforehand. But it's a really tough job to keep somebody there.
Is it burnout or is it just their life circumstances change?
Life circumstances change. The background, like I said, is we lose a lot during the background process.
Yeah, but they're not hired yet. So you can't really lose them.
The last couple we've lost, let's see, one of them, we had talked about the graveyard shifts and things like that, but this person had never actually worked a graveyard shift. So once they started working graveyard shifts for a few months, their body didn't adjust well to it, and she thought she would go another direction.
The biological reaction really is, I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah, until I became a lieutenant, I worked 16 years of shift work, and it is tough. Every 3 months, you're going from a day shift, then you switch over, and now you're working night shift, and then 3 months later, you're working day shift again. And it does take a toll. And
does that make sense to do the rotation? I would think that there seems to be the night owls, and there are people that aren't. And if you tend to be somebody who likes nights,
yeah. So what we do is to make it fair, we switch it around. However, our officers do have a choice. They pick by seniority number one, but they also can switch shifts. So if you're working a graveyard shift and you want to work a day shift, and the other guy is working a day shift but wants to work a graveyard shift, you can switch shifts.
But if somebody wanted just to stay nights, that'd be
okay? If they had the seniority, they could do that. Yeah, because we do pick by seniority. So if you're the top officer with the most seniority, not in a specialized position, you could pretty much stay on nights your whole career.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chief Bill from Fortuna. Code compliance is something I know that Chief Billy is having, or Chief, listen to me, Sheriff Billy, is having all kinds of fun with out in the hinterlands.
Yes, yes.
Is there a comparable for the city police? I mean, is it even under police, or is it under buildings or whatever that might happen? Community development, I guess, is kind of what the title is for some communities. Is there that? As I wouldn't think it'd be requiring a badge and a gun. I would think it would be more just, you know, the engineer kind of guy going in.
Yes. So the city of Fortuna is very fortunate in the last few weeks to hire a code compliance officer. It's our first one we've ever had. Prior to hiring our code compliance officer, what we would do is have monthly meetings with the police department, community development, and building.
See, so I was close.
You have
all right. All right.
And,
probably dangerously close from a lot of people's perspectives.
But we had no one to kind of round up, herd the cats, so to speak.
Follow up or
follow
coordinate.
Up and do all that sort of thing. So we brought a code compliance officer, and he's been doing a great job so far. He's a retired lieutenant from the sheriff's department. So he's doing it. It's a part-time position. Hanson? Yeah, Wayne Hanson.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well known.
Well known.
And people respect him, yeah.
And he's not armed, but he does go out with our POP officer to problem properties. And right now we're at the phase where he's actually done a couple ride-alongs with Eureka's code compliance officer, because I said this is a new position for him. So he's already getting started. He's already working on some of the smaller problem areas in Fortuna. We have a couple major problem areas in Fortuna that we want to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row. And then and then go after those
and properties. Then send them in.
And send them in. But it's already making a difference, and he's taken like a duck to water to the position.
Well, and he knows a lot of the players in the community already.
Knows the players in the community, and really has a strong desire to see Fortuna, see these blight properties being cleaned up.
Is that what code compliance is, Bill? Is it's the nasty uglies, or is it the folks that may have a mat in front of their door that's a little too tall, and people could trip and fall? I mean, you know.
It's a little there's bit of
the big spectrum is out there.
The big spectrum is out there. Okay, for example, we have one property I know that has a couple of dilapidated trailers on it and garbage, debris, junk. So that's something that he's going to be working with our building official on. So when he goes out there, our building official is going to be tackling some part of it. He's going to be tackling some part of it. But at least now we have someone that, you know, is coordinating it. He has an office in our department, so he utilizes one of our computers so he can keep track of the case is a little bit better than we were before. I think he hasn't even been there a month and we're already seeing results. So I think we're going to have
aided or unaided?
He's been aided a little bit by our POP officer. Brian Taylor goes out with him. We've introduced him to a few transient camps and we're doing great there on the transient camps. We go out once a week with Department of Fish and Wildlife and our POP officer and the sheriff's department, and we're hitting these camps every week, and we're seeing a real decrease in our transient population and transient camping, at least within the city limits of Fortuna. So,
well, that's kind of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's our jurisdiction, but we're going out. We're actually doing a lot of stuff outside the city because it's affecting inside.
Sphere of influence?
Sphere of influence, that's right.
Boy, I remember mentioning that a couple months ago, and it was like shocking on whoever it was I was talking to, didn't recognize that phrase.
Yeah,
it's like, really, I'm telling you as the government type.
Yeah,
what sphere of influence is?
Right, just because you know something like a place like Palmer Boulevard is in the county, it's walking distance to Fortuna, and. You
something
know,
happens there is still impacting the city.
Right. And, you know, it's. I was just talking about this the other day. All the businesses down on 3rd Street that are in that area, they've all had to have their spigots removed because at night people are, you know, filling the jugs
filling
up with
up.
Water
yeah.
and then they're taking it back to their campsites and things like that. So we really want to make an impact there, and we're really trying hard. That's one of my priorities is really it's vegetation removal is a big part of it, believe it or not.
Good old-fashioned weed whacking.
On Fortuna Boulevard, Strong's Creek, we went in there, removed the vegetation, cleaned out the creek, and guess what? We have no camping in that area anymore just by taking out the vegetation.
Great to be outside the Coastal Commission, isn't it? The zone of oversight.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that down there. But so we're working, like I said, on the Eel River and more towards Palmer right now. I think is where we're really focusing our efforts on. Even though it's in the county, it's still affecting the city of Fortuna.
And the residents.
And the residents, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so I would think they would go hand in hand. Well, when I was talking about with the code compliance,
right.
Part of it was word starting to get out and people starting to do things that they know they should have been done in the past, but they're doing it now because somebody's paying attention. Not
right.
because there's been contact, but they know that you know their number will pop up.
Yeah, our code compliance officers actually took our existing list that we had. And he's went out and made contact with everybody to send, introducing himself, saying, you know, I'm the new code compliance officer. We're going to start working on your property. I haven't opened up a formal case yet. This is your warning. That
your two-minute notice.
Two-minute notice. So yeah. You can start working on things now, and maybe we won't have to have this talk later.
And if you have any questions, I would suppose that he could serve as an advisor, too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he can help the whole process a little along.
Yeah.
See, you know, you hire a good guy, people know that.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Bill Doberstein. Just because I tried to make Hansel a chief. I don't know of what. Yeah, Humboldt City. The old Humboldt City. There you go. Yeah. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Bill, looking at some of the different challenges that there are today, code compliance, it was always building codes. That was historically it. Obviously, things have changed now. You had mentioned in the first segment about the right to sleep now on public property. Yeah. Boy, you must have just jumped up and down cartwheels and just had that cockle of your heart very warm and fuzzy when when you first heard about that. And then when it goes into play, so people can go to Rohnert Park or the rodeo grounds and just hang out and sleep.
Basically, if it's on public property and you're not obstructing a doorway or some sort of hazard in some way, shape, or form, yes. However, we do enforce law. You know, we do have ordinances that are probably going to end up being looked at. You know, our park closes at dusk. You know, it's a public place. Does that allow them to still sleep in the park? So there's some unanswered questions there. Private property, absolutely not. Nobody has the right to come on your property and
put second base at the softball field.
Second base at the softball
field. Kind of looks like a pillow out there.
And you know what? That could very well fall into this new law where it would be a place for them to actually sleep. Camping is a different thing. Now, if you're setting up camp, a lot of times people confuse camp with sleep. Sleeping is just laying down, getting some sleep, and then leaving. Camping, setting up a tent.
A little bit more permanency.
A little bit more permanency, and I think a lot of people are getting camping and sleeping confused. So we're seeing on public lands that we're seeing illegal camping and illegal dumping into the creeks and other things that are going on, and that's not the right to sleep. The law does not give you the right to camp. It gives you the right to sleep in a public area.
What about public buildings? I'm thinking probably the worst case scenario would be veterans buildings, city halls, things of that nature. Right. Can they use a parking lot?
You know, I would suppose so because it is a public building. However, we haven't seen that in Fortuna. And, you know, obviously going inside of one of those buildings, they're going to be locked at night, so they're not going to be going inside the building. You might see somebody sleeping on the steps or something like that. They would fall under the right to sleep, depending on where they were at.
That's got to start getting uncomfortable for everybody.
It's getting, here in Fortuna, we haven't seen it a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of people that can walk through Fortuna and just, fall asleep on the sidewalk. We have a few of those, but we don't have a whole lot. The bigger cities like, San Francisco and Oakland and those types of places, and even in Eureka, are dealing with it at a much higher level than we are.
But there's no clarity at this point with what it really means.
What a public place is, there's no. Well, there's clarity. It's on a public place. I mean,
but if the park closes at dusk,
right? Those are the issues. And we're actually in talks with our city attorney to say, hey, look, the park is closed. Does that give them the right to go under the tree and go to sleep even after the park is closed when we don't allow anyone in the park?
I'm thinking of the softball fields, inside the fence.
Even though it's a city-owned piece of property. So I think there's going to be some of those issues to get worked out, and I think they'll be worked out in a very short period of time.
Because that's not any one specific jurisdiction.
That's everything.
Now, is that state law, I presume?
Yes. The governor signed that into law.
Before he left or when he came in?
Before he left.
Okay. Now we just know which governor it was.
Yeah. It was Governor Brown.
Are there any other things that are out there that are still trying to kind of settle in that are subject to the interpretation that you folks are having to deal with?
You know, there's a lot of different things that have changed over the years that we've been dealing with. You know, Prop 64 is still an educational thing, you know, with the marijuana. You know, you can't smoke marijuana in a public place. People don't seem to realize that yet.
And sidewalks are public places?
Yeah, you can't just walk down the street and smoke a joint, you know, walking down Main Street. You have to smoke it within your home or on the premises of your property, but you cannot smoke it in a public place. So, you know, getting that message across to people has been challenging because people think that they can smoke marijuana wherever they want now. No.
Well, can you smoke tobacco wherever you want?
You cannot smoke. It's pretty much the same as tobacco. You can't smoke tobacco wherever you want either because you've got to be 15 feet from a building. And
which oftentimes is the right-hand turn lane.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then in our parks, we don't allow smoking in our parks and things like that where there's kids. And again, we run into issues where people are like maybe in Runner Park and they light up a joint and we have to go educate them that, no, you can't do this here. There's kids here, and there's no smoking in the park.
Just period. It's almost convenient that the non-smoking laws were in place because it at least gives you guys something you can reference then.
Right.
That it's not coming on specifically because of that.
Right. And the other stuff that we're dealing with is like the grow and the odors that come from that and the problems we're seeing with the neighborhood. We talked about sphere of influence a little bit, and then we have, I believe it was last time I checked, 24 different applications through the county for growing operations that border the city limits of Fortuna. So I know that our city's taken a different stance than the other cities in Humboldt County as far as marijuana goes, and that sphere of influence is becoming a big thing.
Now what about with the processing? Is that something that is precluded also? It's like a force field of anything related, or I'm thinking like this. That's not I guess it's dispensary and manufacturing and the Kmart on
right.
The south end of Eureka. That's
yeah.
Going to be more clinical. Lab coats instead of dreadlocks is kind of my working phrase with that.
Right.
Would that be something that's allowed within Fortuna, not the retail side,
yeah,
but the laboratory part?
I know there's been discussions on that. As you know, the biggest thing that have come up, quite frankly, are the odor issues that are associated. And if you don't have the odor issues, and then the perceived crime increase, having that being grown right across the street from a residential neighborhood and things like that. I know there has been some talk about the processing aspect of it and whether or not they'd make an exception for that. But you always start low. And you could always raise the bar, but once you have a bar set so high, it's really hard to lower it. So I think that's kind of the way we're looking at it.
KINS, News and Information Time, bars.
Yeah.
You really want to talk about bars?
No.
All right.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, with the discussion about smoking, whether marijuana or not, is vaping a form of smoking? Is chew tobacco a form of smoke? And I know you don't light it and then stick it in your mouth, but...
Yeah, chewing tobacco is obviously a tobacco product that's not regulated the same way as smoking. You could chew tobacco within 15 feet of a building as long as you're not, you know, spitting at somebody's feet or something like that. Vaping falls pretty much under the same rules as smoking. And it's becoming really popular. It's becoming popular with the young kids. And it's unfortunate because that stuff still has nicotine in it, and they're just getting it a different way. And they're also using THC drops and things like that in the vape oil now to get the psychoactive effect of marijuana while they're vaping. So But as far as we're concerned, typically smoking and vaping go hand in hand with each other as far as rules and regulations.
So it's just a different delivery vehicle.
Just a different delivery method. That's it.
Are you getting any feedback, any blowback, commentary, that kind of stuff with this Murder Mountain thing that's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I could only handle about half of the first segment. I got so frustrated.
I watched a couple shows.
And then seeing who the sources were, I can get frustrated a lot of ways. I don't need this thing. So I have not seen the series.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes, and I thought it was, I thought it made Humboldt County look terrible, to tell you the truth. I mean, they shot some scenes in Fortuna that I recognized, and they used the absolute worst building in Fortuna as a back shot of what Fortuna looked like. And Fortuna is a beautiful small city on the Ill River, and they go to the worst building in Fortuna as a backdrop of, you know, we're in Fortuna, California. And then the whole series, I think, is I don't think it gives the investigation enough due. And our officer, we had a missing girl that has worked hand in hand with the sheriff's department. Detective Brian Taylor's worked hand in hand with the sheriff's department on our homicide. And I know he's been up to that area many times with the sheriff's department, and it's been nothing but professional. And the image I get from Murder Mountain to what I know is to be reality is 100% different.
Just two separate
two separate things. I'm sure there are people up there that don't like the cops, and I'm sure there's people that have disappeared on marijuana farms. However,
I bet you there's people on Main Street that don't like the cops too.
Right.
Big deal. You don't have to go out in the boonies.
It's very sensationalized, in my opinion.
Thanks for coming by, Bud. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you, Neil.
See everybody tomorrow.